Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 5th, 2023. Coded Parables. Question. The stories included in the introduction to the Book of Zohar are encoded parables. To penetrate them and understand what they are talking about, one needs the help of a Kabbalist. One of the articles in the Book of Zohar is called The Letters of Rav Hamnuna Saba. Who is Rav Hamnuna? Answer: Rav Hamnuna Saba is one of the greatest sages of antiquity who lived over 2,000 years ago. He taught his students the information that the Book of Zohar speaks about. Question. At the beginning of the article it is written, when the Creator wished to make the world, all the letters were still hidden, and 2,000 years prior to the creation of the world the Creator was observing and playing with the letters. What are letters? What does it mean that the letters were hidden and the Creator was playing with them? What is it about? Answer, the fact is that there was no time then. It is said, 2,000 years prior to the creation of the world. What times are we talking about here? What is the time counting? All this is very conditional. We must understand that we are talking only about spiritual processes and not about some years or rotation of planets, stars, luminaries, to our world, and so on. As Balhar Sulam writes, the information given in Kabbalistic books is beyond time and space. From KabTV's Introduction to the Book of Zohar, April 23, 2023. Fighting with the Creator. Comment: when I lose track of the lesson in the middle of it, at some point the realization comes, oh, I am somewhere else. My response: you are given such a feeling, but it is not conscious. Does anything happen for no reason? First you get a snap and forget about the lesson, fly out of it, and fall. Then 10 minutes later you get another bump on the nose and you ask, oh, where am I? You begin to understand where. From this moment on, you must quickly get yourself together and re-enter the lesson. In a couple of minutes you will get another snap and be thrown out again. Question: but where is my inclusion if everything comes from above? Answer: there is nothing of yours here. This is done only so you eventually understand that you need to do something, otherwise, you will keep being thrown out. The Creator throws you out through the influence of light. How can you make sure He doesn't throw you out? Where can you find another light opposite the Creator, who is always messing with you? To do this, you need a group through which you attract such a light to yourself that the Creator does not throw you out, you fight Him. You are always fighting the Creator. Who else? Is there anyone else? Question: how can I fight if He controls me? Answer: take such force from Him that lets you fight Him. The Creator purposely presents you with various situations, like we do when we play with a child. We create all sorts of apparent obstacles for Him to learn from and grow smarter. From KabTV's I Got a Call. Concentration in Study, January 2nd, 2011. How to find a ford in the turbulent river of life. Comment: there is a chilling parable about a shepherd who crossed a small river over a shaky bridge for 40 years. He was always afraid of falling. One day, he suddenly saw a man approaching who crossed the river through an invisible ford. The shepherd shouts to the man, "I have been walking here for 40 years and I do not know this ford." He answers, "Look, you are a shepherd, you lead the sheep. But who are you following?" My response: this is good. Think about who is leading you. Question: humanity is crossing this shaky bridge all the time over a turbulent river. It never thinks about who it is following. It is always inventing some kind of economic and political program. Answer: there is an effect of mass. The mass is going, and I go. Comment: people are already falling in the same place. Right there, the bridge is already full of holes. My response: it does not matter. But they are going, and I must go with them. A sense of community. Question: do we repeat the same wars, even in a more terrible way? Answer: the herd feeling leads us all. Comment: in this parable, the shepherd saw a man walking through an invisible ford. My response: but you still must see this. Question: how can we see that there is a ford in this turbulent river of life? Answer: to do this, we need to see the person who is crossing. Question: how do we see? How can we reveal this vision? Answer: this is not given to everyone. Question: is there a ford in this river? Answer: there is a ford everywhere and always. But to do this, you need to be able to see a real person who knows how to cross the river and knows where the ford is. Question: let us say you are talking about a person, a wise man, who knows where the ford is. How does he know where the ford is? Did he fall off the bridge himself and so on? How does he find a ford in this turbulent river of life? Answer: this is already a connection with the Creator. There is no other way. Question: does it mean that he created this river? He directed us, on shaky bridges, he pushes us, to absolutely everything, and he also must indicate the ford? Answer: a person should ask him to show the crossing. Question: should people ask the Creator to show the crossing, the normal, peaceful, good one? Answer: yes. Question: when will this happen? Answer: when we ask and demand, when there is a need, then we will see. Question: what is a real request that has an answer? Answer: that we definitely need to cross this river. We want to cross it not by our own will and with our own mind, but so that we are shown from above for what purpose and why. Then we will get an answer. Question: are you saying that we are building these shaky bridges all the time, but we only must ask? Answer: of course. Comment: will we be able to cross without a bridge then? My response: yes. Otherwise, in the end, we all fall off these bridges and drown. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, March 23, 2023. Nazis and the Jews. Question: why did the Nazis hate Jews specifically? Answer: this comes from the fact that the matter of our world is completely opposite to the spiritual, which is carried by the Jews. There is a right and left line, and on the conjunction of them the soul is built. And at the same time there are extreme right and extreme left lines called klipot, meaning right and left impurity, which are opposite to their lines, and they hate them. This is all explained in Kabbalah. The Nazis were representatives of the more impure part of the left line. They understood that the Jews were a spiritual part, and believed that it was possible to physically destroy what was spiritually inherent in nature. From CapTV's I Got a Call. Nazis and the Jews, January 9, 2011. Real friends. Question: you often say that it is necessary to justify a friend as much as possible unless he does harm. But where is the line? What kind of harm can be caused? Answer: when he destroys the group. If a person destroys the group, then he has no place in the group, then he is not a friend. Everything else must be endured. Sometimes there are moments that look like the destruction of the group. In this case, you can point it out to him. But, in principle, we must try to justify a friend. The most important thing is still the group, because in it a person reveals the upper world, the Creator. And so one can clearly define: is it for or against? There are some people who are as if in a group and not in a group, they just exist side by side. They come and participate in some events, but do not invest in the association. Then they are not friends, but just listeners. There are always those. The group is made up of many circles. There are people who have been with me for 15-20 years or more. They are proven friends who cannot do otherwise. For them, Kabbalah is their whole life. There are those who can come today, but not tomorrow. They do not see their life in this. And there are people who exist as if nearby. for them, being in a group has not yet become the place where you reveal your true life, your essence. When you begin to see deeper connections in unity with friends, the inner connections of the world, when the group turns into a spiritual community in which a completely new dimension is revealed, the inner one, then this is a completely different state. If people understand that only by creating a new community will they find new connections there, new fields, control over themselves, the world, then they are already really friends. From CabTV's I Got a Call. Harming the Group, January 2nd, 2011. New Life 228. Happy as a Child.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And so we want to learn how to be happy, happier. I suppose you do too. That's why you joined our show. And so this is what we're going to talk about today. Today we'd like to focus on happiness. Each time we examine a different aspect of life, we focus on a different field in life. And what we'd like to learn today is, what is it about children that makes them happy? And how can we, as adults, be as happy as children are? When we look at children from the side, they always seem happy. They always have some kind of adventure going on. And we're kind of gray, kind of tired, don't feel like getting out of bed in the morning. And the question is, can we change it? And if so, how? This is what we'd like to talk about today. Tal, lead the way. Yeah, in my quest for happiness, and especially in the last decade, because there's more prosperity going around, the search for happiness really became very dominant. There's lots of research about it, but most researches talk about adults. And the question is, what about children? A few researches done about children found out something very interesting, that for them, being happy is the normal state. When you ask children, are you happy? Usually they say, we're very happy, or we're usually happy. A child is born happy. Children accept reality as is. They're very curious, looking for what's good for them all the time, doing what they want. They don't complain. It seems like every person is born happy. And the question is, why is childhood so happy? What is it about childhood that makes us happy? Yeah, you can really see it on kids. It really stands out. Suppose I have a fever, 38 degrees, I'm lying in bed, I don't see anything, don't want to feel anything. A child with the same fever is playing. He's playing. He continues with life. Nature gave children the ability to enjoy everything in order to develop them. And therefore, they're happy, because every time, wherever they are, they can play. He takes a pot and starts playing with it. He takes something, starts dragging it around. Everything. Because every time he sees something new, and what he feels, and it doesn't matter what he's playing with, every time he feels a renewal. And we grown-ups, we don't see a renewal in it. And also we're tired of all of these renewals, innovations, only on condition that they can fulfill us. And really, you can turn the TV on at 6 or 7 a.m., and what do you have? Shows for children. Especially if it's Saturday or something, or Sunday. Meaning kids, they get up early, one way or another, and so you have to give them something. So all the shows on all the channels are for kids. Until the parents get up and start the day, etc., etc. The kids are already 2 hours, watching in order not to miss out on the pleasure that they can derive from their world. And it's something that really stands out. So how can we learn from kids how to be as happy as they are? We need to stay children. As simple as that. This is should be our direction, meaning to live in a way that I all the time find something new in the world, that I haven't achieved yet, that I'm going to achieve, that I'm going to get, that for me it's important, that it's appealing to me. Every time I'm discovering a new world. It's easy to say, but really? How do you do it? The problem is that we, from a certain age and on, suppose from the ages of 16, 17 and on, we're engaged in things that we don't want to be engaged in, that we're forced to do. We don't really find pleasure in them, but we do them because we have to. And so my life is entirely, against my will. A person lives his life, does things in life against his own will. And with kids, it's the opposite. They have plenty of opportunities, and they all the time find something to do that fulfills them. So, how can we, in whatever we're engaged in, that we're forced to be engaged in, and taking care of the family, and winning bread, and staying healthy, and you have plenty of worries, how to handle yourself with the authorities, with society, towards ourselves and the family and everything, how in all these things can we find sources of happiness? That's the question. And then we'll be like kids, always with uplifted spirits, feeling enlivened, inspired, happy. Now we'll find this feeling, this pleasure, only on condition that we, in all of our engagements, discover a new spirit of life, a new attitude toward each other. This is the only thing that can enliven us. Meaning, if I have such relations with the others that I get from them a new impression for the new life, for the new relations, for new fulfillments, inner fulfillments that fulfill me. If I'm all the time in a society, small or large, of course, the larger, the broader, the better, that stimulates me to participate in a good, nice way. That my work too, my ordinary day-to-day life, will also be like a game. What's the difference between a game and a business? In a game, I enjoy what I do. In a business, I think only at the end. How do I gain something and make a profit? And maybe at the end, I'll have pleasure. In the game, the pleasure is on the spot. I have to walk 2 kilometers to some place now. And then, I postpone it and don't want it. And suddenly next to me, there's a friend that I find out that we need to go together and we have what to talk about. And so the walk turns into a journey. And I walk, and for me, walking becomes a pleasure. And not what I attain at the end. So kids get pleasure in everything that they do. And for us, moving around makes us suffer. And we only want to achieve the goal, but all the moving around to achieve it is suffering. Also, the sheer psychological matter. How do we turn our entire life into actions that are like a game, that are like play? And then we enjoy it, this game, every moment that we do it. And it could be These could be very difficult actions that you need much energy and calories in order to do them. But if I feel a compensation, a pleasure on the spot, it's a game, it's play. Like a person that does sports, he spends plenty of calories, etc., etc. But it's worthwhile doing because he feels pleasure. We know that different substances are released in the body, etc., etc. So it all depends on the environment, on the measure to which it brings me into this game. But here we need to build this environment that will generate in me such an attitude, such a relation to life, to work, to family, to different things, that I'll want to do it, that I'll receive all these things in mutuality with everyone else and uplifted spirits, because I'm appreciated and respected and admired, and I feel how my good attitude towards others fulfills me and their attitude towards me. Meaning, it doesn't matter what we do. What matters is, do I learn how to enjoy the action itself with the help of the environment, so that it changes from work to the reception of pleasure? Meaning that you get the reward on the spot and not after a hard, long effort. So again, here we merely need to see the plan that needs to be realized. How, in each and every case, do we build a public opinion, social opinion, and its pressure on a person in order to shape a person towards it, towards the environment, towards himself, towards life, towards its commitments in life, for him to be able to accept it in a good, nice, comfortable way? These are things that aren't easy to build. Like we talked on our previous show about how can we build a happy family. For this, you need experts. All of our advice isn't something that a person can implement on his own, but there need to be professionals that this their work and they teach us what needs to be done. So suppose we're preparing such experts that really know how to properly shape the environment, and then you need to have these kinds of experts in different places, in different junctions in our life, let's say, at work, in factories, at school, everywhere, in kindergartens, at home. It's something that you get off the TV screen or from the internet. But we teach people how to be happy in their ordinary day-to-day life, that it all depends on how a person is appreciated by the environment for the important work that he does. How, while he does something, can he share with others the different phenomena that he experiences, and he gets strengthening from it, and guidance and advice, and how do we accompany him in all of his actions that each time are felt in him, not out of suffering and necessity, but out of a mutual game, play together with everyone else. Here, there needs to be a very tight connection with the educators, with the environment, that a person goes through his entire day as usual, but every time he has a kind of participation in it with others, so that it becomes like a game, like a picnic, like some special action, like theater, like something as something mutual. And out of this mutuality, can he get the fulfillment? This is actually the main thing. Meaning, wherever we say that a person is lacking happiness, it depends on the environment, educators, supporters, and how they correctly shape a person in relation to others or society. I'm the hero in this game? Usually there's a hero in the game. Everyone's a hero in relation to the other, in the role that he carries out. In this theater of life, a person needs to feel that he's a hero, that he's important. He needs to feel that everyone's paying attention to him. And his work brings about completion to this entire act called life, and that he's important. Something interesting nowadays that there are many children and also grown-ups that run away to the world of games. Oh, they run away from reality. We're talking about computer games, video games. And the pretty thing is that in this world of games, that many times is a shared game, they have a sense of purpose, meaning, they're going to save the world. It gives them a kind of enlivenment that they don't feel in real life. So you're saying that we can experience that in our day-to-day life too, these kinds of feelings? Yeah. There are such games that we can draw to our life, into our life, and by it to mitigate our life a bit. Like, in the past it used to be with Tamagotchi, that there was this wave that came and went. That a person feels that there is something that he needs to take care of, feed, etc., etc. He burdens himself with something, but it turns his life into something shared. That there is something that responds, even though that this thing is completely meaningless. So if we build such a society that expects of him, that wishes his participation, and he wants its participation, then it's going to be something very powerful for everyone. And these things, they need to be easy, nice, flowing, that give pleasure, that give support, that give a person fulfillment. Does it also have to do with the challenges that I have in life, that I can relate to a challenge as to a game, to anything? The entire world is a game, like we say about our entire world, that It's one big game, it's a play, so to make it that way is something truly great. Because in that a person gets rid of this feeling that I must, I'm coerced, I'm a slave, I'm under pressure all the time. But no, he'll do the same things and even more in a way that are fun for him. You said that the difference between us and children is that children enjoy everything that they do and we enjoy only the final outcome. So what can we do as adults in order to feel pleasure in everything that we do? First of all, you said that I need to constantly be appreciated by the environment, that what I'm doing is important, the work that I'm doing is important no matter what I do. Suppose I'm a clerk at a bank, I continue being a teller at a bank, I do the same things, only now what's added to my life is appreciation, feedback from society. Hello, Owen, the teller. What you're doing is important. How do I do it in practice? How do I do it in a way that will really give a person the feeling, as I said, that if I understood correctly, that the purpose of the feedback and appreciation is to give me the same feeling as a child has, that whatever I do gives me pleasure. Not only that I get my paycheck because I need to eat, but simply because I have motivation to do it all. How do you realize it in practice? How do you appreciate a bank teller? Just for example, it doesn't matter. It could be monotonous work, doesn't matter which. Yeah, that's why I chose a bank clerk or teller. How do we give him this feeling that what he's doing is very important, that we appreciate his work and that it actually completes the entire system? You just answered it now. Where is he going to get pleasure from? We're saying that a person, every moment, as a little child, needs to get pleasure from whatever he does. And every action that he takes and whatever he does, there's this game for the rich that sometimes they dress up as taxi drivers and work all day long as a taxi driver. They get some kind of pleasure out of it. And it's a game. A taxi driver works, he suffers this work, and for the rich person, no, gets fun out of it. The question is, how do you do it? Where do we get the pleasure from? What's the source of pleasure? The source of pleasure could only be in that we equalize with nature, which is one. Like in a connection in the family, between spouses or in a family that's small society. Can you elaborate? The fact that we connect, whether we're talking about a couple or an extended family with all the relatives and everyone. As we generate unity among us, from that unity we derive a special force, the special pleasure of being together through mutual incorporation, mutual concessions, mutual bestowals to each other. And then from there comes some kind of warmth, some sense of beauty, that I want to do it, that the actions for me already become the source of fulfillment. And not that I spend different calories on it and effort, but no, I get from there. The same here. There is no other way. Meaning, we need to build society in such a way that we build such a system of connections in it between everyone that everyone will feel that through mutual connection, everyone gets enlivenment and that he's like a child, that he goes and jumps and does. Where does it get it from? Because if he won't jump, if he won't do it, he won't get the fulfillment. Like a child. Why are you doing it? Why are you jumping up and down? Why can't you just sit quietly? I can't, because otherwise I'm not alive. This is what a child feels. The same with grown-ups. But it's on condition that we build an environment where in the center of the environment there's this reservoir of pleasure on a person that is integrated in the environment. He comes closer to this reservoir of pleasure and he drinks from it and he receives from it to the measure to which he participates, to the measure of his devotion, to the measure of his connection with others. It's forbidden for us to forget that the force, the power of enlivenment, of life, of warmth, of beauty, of pleasure, it all comes only from connection. It could be plus and minus, it could be male and female, it could be whatever. It's only from the connection. Anything which is the opposite of the other is dead. Try to start connecting them together, making them partners. There you'll discover the ability for an explosion of energy. So, if I'm a bank teller, who do I connect to? So you need to build such an environment, so the environment will encourage you and connect you to the work and to itself in such a way that every time by it, you will feel that you contribute and you get pleasure, you contribute and get pleasure. And not because of money, but because of the game itself, because of your participation in it. And the work, it could be completely monotonous. Only what I see in the future is that surely people will study integral education for many hours a day, and then they'll be able to perform these actions as a kind of addition to the homework that you give a person. You know, the practical work to realize what you studied. He needs to first of all get reinforcement, strengthening, correct guidance, and then to implement it at his place of work. I don't know how much it's going to be, maybe 2 hours a day, maybe less, I don't know. But one way or another, we're approaching a situation where it's not just so that we don't need so many people doing different work. It's all artificial. 80% already now, there's research that shows that 80% of all the professions and work is redundant, simply serving each other. So there are two layers in a person's life. The one is where he has different social interactions, and the other is where he does something practical. So let's go to the bank, go back to the bank teller. I like him. He's monotonous. So suppose I'm the bank teller, unfortunately. Not unfortunately. And you're my friends. I know you're saying that if you're my friends, the environment that surrounds me, you'll add appreciation to what I do, and thanks to me, is there a wholeness and completion of the general social system? And then when I go back to my gray teller position, I'll be able to enjoy everything that I do, like if I'm playing Monopoly or something. Doesn't matter. No, not that it doesn't matter. By it, you gain a connection to a special source of energy. So that's the desired outcome, but what will you do for me as a surrounding society to help me reach it? We'll take you together with us to a workshop. And what are you going to do with me there? We'll sit in connection between us. We'll learn how to connect with one another, integrate in each other. What can each contribute and how? How do we create a connection between us? How, by our connection, do we reach a state that we enjoy it? I got confused. You said, what can each contribute? I understood that you talked about me, that I as a bank teller contribute to. Now you're not a bank teller. We take all the bank workers. You're all together, and we bring you to our offices. And there, we teach you how to be connected, how to complete each other. That if you are gradually capable of building the right ties between you, and mutual concession, you start seeing it as sport, as something worthwhile doing. So we give different questions, complete each other, scrutinize different things. The exercises themselves, it depends on everyone's profession, of the people, etc. But the main thing for us is to cause you connection, mutuality, like in a family. Same principles. There's nothing new here. Mutuality, concession, connection, integration, finding a mutual common force where each comes out of himself and becomes included in the center of our circle, and from that circle we want to enjoy in it. We find a new source of energy because of mutual concession. And by connecting above the concession, we reach a network that suits nature, which is all one force. And then we receive, we discover, because it's the law of nature, we discover a source of energy, a source of our happiness and joy by becoming as one. So we did this exercise. Now, let's continue this exercise during reception hours. How? There's no other work than what I did yesterday. Only now that I do the work, I add intention to it, that this is what I contribute to the circle of my friends, of my colleagues that are also working in that same reception hall together with me at the same time. I don't understand. Whatever I do, it doesn't matter if I'm serving people or I'm opening or closing accounts or whatever I do for them in the bank. It doesn't matter. What's important is my attitude to the action itself. Not the action itself is what's important, but the way I relate to it. And I relate to this action as something important because by this I connect, by this I contribute, by this I give to our society, not to the public. The public is a means. Each and every person that comes, I concede myself to them. I annul myself towards them, above them, above the customer, the clients. I connect upon them. I connect to the center of our circle. I didn't understand. Then probably for this, we need to go through several connection exercises that are more powerful to start from afar, from the state that you're in. You said that I need to add intention to my action, only intention. So until yesterday, I was a bored bank teller, cursing the alarm clock. Tomorrow or in a month, I become a happy teller who's glad about every moment that plays being a bank teller. And what made the difference is that I, together with my friends in the bank, we prepared ourselves for our work day, where there was a certain interaction between us, certain interaction of warmth by us being connected and working harmoniously together, completing each other as one body. And then after I disconnected from the fun that we had, this connection of ours, it gave me the strength to think about this during the day, which you call adding the intention to that monotonous action. What is that? I connect to everyone. I keep that connection with everyone during the work, and during the work I only want to strengthen this connection, precisely because I'm serving people and all of us together are doing the same work. This work is now becoming a kind of amplifier of the relations between us into one connection, into this one concept. And then from that concept of one, I now get a tremendous gain, profit of connection, of a mutual feeling. I start enjoying in the measure to which I annul myself towards everyone and everyone else does the same, I can receive pleasure from that source, fulfillment. Suppose I work on the first floor in the bank, I'm a teller, Tal, she's a bit more talented, she's a big manager on one of the higher floors. Doesn't matter. I don't see her during the day. Maybe during lunch, if we have a big lunchroom or something. But suppose I don't see her all day long. Yeah, but you were on the workshop together. Right, in the morning. We prepared ourselves for the new day of work. There was connection, warmth, everything. Now, I went to my boring work, and she went to her interesting work. Throughout my boring work, I need to feel that I connect to her, that we're staying in touch. Yeah? Now that you're going to work, you commit to continue playing the game that you start on the workshop. Oh, what is that game? To increase the force of connection between you. What we had in the morning together. Yeah. So suppose it's 10 or 12 noon, and you're a customer. I'm serving you, and I need to think about my connection with Tal and everyone else. Yeah, with everyone. How? Through your action, you actually include me as well in it. The customer. Yeah, that I don't even know about. I include you in what or how. That's how it is, by the way. Yeah, I mean, how do I
by serving me from that common force of your connection, I start getting viruses from you. I also become closer to the matter. Also, if I suddenly hear about these things someplace, I'll hear about it in a way that you're influencing me. How? In that your action towards me isn't with the simple intention of serving me, but with the intention of establishing a stronger connection between people so that everyone will enjoy the connection. Your action is already spiritual. So you're saying that once a person adds the right intention into whatever he's doing, it will give him the same enlivenment that a child has? Vital force? You're really waiting. When will someone else come? When will someone, some customer, approach me so that I can do this work on him and he already gets some kind of impression from me without me saying a word? An impression of the connection between people and how it is a cure for everything, heals everything. I really need to think about that person, that they'll feel it, want it. Of course. Because everything's scrutinized in thought. And if I'm working with computers, not with people, or if I'm a housewife, anything. Doesn't matter. Why? It's very important. She doesn't meet anyone, the housewife. She doesn't see anyone all day long. Tops, she has a computer screen in the kitchen or something, TV screen. Let's define our goal again. We want to enjoy every moment as a child. To begin with, that's how it is, yes. So, in order to enjoy as a child in every given moment, you said that what's important is to think that the work that you're doing brings wholeness to the entire system that we're parts of. And if we take a housewife, what does she have to do with it? She's connected with the whole of humanity. It doesn't matter if someone comes to her or doesn't come to her physically. The thing is that we're all connected one way or another. We're living in a global and integral world. And we want to renew the connection. We want for all of humanity to be in that connection. Therefore, what she does at home, through her family, through the kids, through her husband, and nonetheless, she's connected by a thousand different virtual ties with the entire world. The entire world. And that she thinks that this is what she wants to do. Thinks what? How can she, by whatever she's doing, by whatever she's engaged in, how can she increase the force of connection between people so that from that connection she knows that there's something special in it, really some kind of hidden force called happiness, that she can get it from there and enjoy life. And also, not that she simply receives it and enjoys life, but that this force comes as a result of the participation of many people in that same inclination of enjoying connection. We have no source of life without the connection between us, starting with the level of elementary particles, electrons, protons, etc., and up to molecules, and bodies, and your spouse, and your connection with your friends, everyone, until all of us connect, all of reality connects into a single system. And this is something that a person can do by his intention. And we will discover that in that connection exists a tremendous force, truly an upper force that can fulfill us with a feeling of life, a sense of life. We're talking about children, right? But also we have a serious problem with senior citizens. 46% of elder people in Israel feel lonely. They have friends, they have family, whatever, but they feel lonely. they don't necessarily work, etc., etc. Could this be a solution for them too? Of course. And I don't understand the problem. If we go to a nursing home and there we give them workshops, suppose we don't want to burden their families, even though that later they'll feel that it isn't, that elder person doesn't burden them at all, but they'll be able to do the same, they too, and also the helpers there and the volunteers that'll come, and everyone together will do it. This is actually the age that could really be their golden age. So what should my grandmother do in order to start experiencing? She needs to go through our workshops, through our preparation. She needs to be an integral grandmother. My grandmother, she is an engineer, electric engineer, and she wants to go and learn what true happiness is. She's looking for a good environment to do it. So it could be through the internet, through different other things, because we won't be able to reach everyone, but we need to make sure that we have experts in integral education. Okay, until now, we tried to understand what makes children happy. So you said that whatever a child does gives them pleasure. Now, after we understand why our children are happy, because naturally in everything that they do, they feel enlivenment and joy, etc., etc., then we talked about how can we, adults, adjust ourselves to that same principle that we see in children and help each other feel that in everything that we do, we can feel enlivenment. Now, let's take a step forward. Now we want to understand, after we understood these principles, how can we help our children be as happy as they can? Because if we now understood the principle that makes a child happy at a certain point, it comes to an end. I think you mentioned the age of 16. Now there altogether he starts feeling his obligations to the world. But before that he already feels different kinds of pressure from society and the different corruptions that they have at school, domineering competition, all these things. I think that starts at the age of 9 someplace. Okay, so we have a baby in his first years. He's all happy playing around. When he has fever, he doesn't stop. Then gradually begin difficulties, as you've described now. And after we understood what do we need to do as adults in order to be as happy as children, and also it's important to mention that this is the first thing that concerns parents. When parents were asked, what would you like for your children, what bothers you? I want for them to be happy. Of course, that goes without saying. So this is what we'd like to learn how to do now. How do we take a young child that's still happy, that feels enlivenment in everything that he does, and make sure that it doesn't stop? You said soon it's going to stop. He's going to have difficulties, this, that, and he's going to turn into a gray, bored adult like myself. I want to do something for him while he's still young. That will help him stay happy. Right. How, as a parent who understands this principle, how can we adjust ourselves to that? I have little children. I want for them to stay happy. For this, you need to study. As it says, man's inclination is evil from the start. They can't connect nicely with each other, but only for a short period of time, in competition and different such things. But to play together, even children don't really know how to, because their ego only positions them against each other. It's very rare that they play together and complete each other. You see the kinds of games that you have in toy shops. Games in which they play against each other. And this is what stops them from being happy? Yeah? Because then I have no place. The years go by. Those years in which nature determined that in these years you need to grow, so you need to feel pleasure in everything that you do, etc., etc. But then, that's it. Suppose you reach the age of 13, more or less, And you feel that life isn't a game anymore. So how do I go back and before it starts withering away, I put them back on the track of happiness? You bring them to integral studies. Right, so this is what I want to do as a parent. I want to get clear guidance as to how to keep my child's natural happiness so it won't stop. What do I do? The same workshops, only in a style that's adjusted to children. Games, activities that are all about mutual help, mutual concession, mutual integration, how useful it is, etc., etc. And you start inserting that, instilling it as a habit, even in those years during which he's still happy. I, as a parent, need to show my child an example. I mean, if I'm not happy, will my child be able to be happy? No, I don't think so. He'll feel your distress. We need to take care of the children, of the parents, too. A parent that doesn't know what is this connection, how to derive forces from it, can't pass it on to a child. How can he? Can I make my child happy? Is it up to me? Or can I only nurture the conditions that will enable it? Because sometimes parents, they're really domineering. They think that they can impose happiness on their child. There's this saying that a parent needn't be a sculptor, but a gardener. That he needs to nurture and water, but not to interfere too much. So can I really change something in my child's happiness, or is it only support and encouragement? I think that it's support and encouragement. Later on in the family, if you're already proficient in our education in different ways, then you can give also different kinds of workshops there, activities in the family too, among all the children. Just get children together and do it. And also children and parents. There are different forms to it. The main thing is that they'll participate in the game, the purpose of which is to derive happiness from connection. Suppose now I'm a parent and this is something that I didn't study or learn in my childhood, still I can be a good parent. A good parent means the measure in which they realize the integral education. So if I grew up in a home where I didn't get good examples, most chances are that I'll repeat the same mistakes. And here you're saying that I can learn how to be a good parent. Yep. Okay, now, there are many materials about how to raise a happy child. One of the questions I saw is, should we let children do what they like? Because usually, a child that you allow him to do what he likes, as a grown-up, he'll like what he's doing, meaning he experiences pleasure from what he does. Yeah, but if later he'll have to do something that he doesn't like, then he won't be happy anymore. We need to teach him how to be happy upon whatever it is that he does. And so we don't look at that he enjoys doing something now. So he enjoys riding his bicycle. So, okay, great. So what? This is how he'll be all life long. We need to give him the means of how to be happy. And this means depends only on the proper connection between him and society, his environment. What do you mean? That the more connected he'll be with his environment correctly, mutuality, connection, then they're in the mutual connection. You can even call it mutual responsibility. He will discover the source of joy, of happiness, that special force. And it's not just so that humanity is deteriorating nowadays and its feeling of happiness and joy and life, normal life, but, you know, ordinary normal life. But they need drugs, they need antidepressants, etc., etc. It's all because we already need to really start working on our connection already in order to attain some kind of level of enlivenment. As a parent, I have the means, I can allow my child to go to any club, etc., etc. Our clubs need to be for free, actually. No, I'm not talking on part of the system that you're building. I'm saying that as a parent. For me, the most important thing in life is for my child to be happy, that he'll continue being happy. Is there some one thing that you can direct me at, which is the key that will give me the certainty that my child will stay happy? I want to buy an insurance for life, that my child will be happy, will continue being happy. He's still a child. I understood what you taught today. I understand it as an adult. Now I understand that it's very important that before these first years where nature gave him in deposit, so to speak, go, enjoy, swallow the world. So after I learned this from you, I want to make an insurance policy that it won't end. So you need, as early as possible, to start performing such actions, taking actions in which the child will participate in, that will all teach the child how to correctly connect to the right environment, so that he will know that his entire life depends on the right environment, and that you promise him success in all fields of life. That he'll know happiness from his first to his last day. That he knows what needs to be done, what kind of society does he need to live in, and if there isn't such a society, suppose he's in some place, he will know how to build such an environment. Such meaning what? Of connection. In order to create this source of energy, reservoir of energy called happiness. That's pretty. Connection in order to create a reservoir of energy called happiness. I like it. That's the entire purpose of the game. And today, with all the crises and everything, by seeing nature as an integral system, we're approaching our true commitment, where it's already our obligation to do that. It sounds like looking for gas, natural gas or oil, connection in order to create a reservoir of energy which is unlimited. Right. Okay, suppose you're the father, I'm the child, you want to teach me how to find this well. It sounds like a well, you know. So what? It's the way I look at life, I look at others. What's the trick? How do I... You put the child in the right environment. Right, but you as a father who knows that this is the key. There's like a vault here that you open in some unknown way, but if you do, the vault opens, it's there. Only it opens through connection, its door. Surely like, puck, and it opens through connection. And from there you can take whatever you want. This kind of happiness, that kind of happiness, you have everything there. Okay, so this is the secret. Yeah, and I'm your son. I'm young, so what are you going to teach me? I teach you, according to what you can understand in relation to happiness, that let's connect all of us together and play different games, the success of which depends on our connection. And what do you tell me? It's just like that we need to build something out of Lego, that everyone has their share. We've been building Lego for thousands of years, but no one touched that well yet. No, I'm not talking about the physical parts. What I'm saying is that each needs to complete the others so that they enjoy the complete form. That you build something together as children, you do something. Then this way, what follows is that he sees what is the force of society, the force of connection, how you enjoy the common result, that he is incapable of performing his action in society until he annuls his ego a bit, concedes a bit towards the others, listens to what they say, and from what he hears from the friends, he does 1 plus 1, does the right math, and then it helps him do what he needs to do, meaning he knows how to annul himself towards others, at least in terms of hearing them, etc. Here we're talking about an educational process that is very deep, I'd say. From what age can you start studying? Depending what? From the age of zero? Suppose I'm your son. I'm still small, and I come back home. What do you talk to me about? I come back from my friends, suppose. I come back home. Maybe I want for you to play the same game with me. Explain, what did you play? You're asking me, what will you ask? What did you play? What did you do? What did you understand? What was hard? What was easy? I participate with him. I want to make some kind of simulation here. To kind of play the same game again. And what are you looking for in that? What I'm looking for is a connection with my child, and through him, connection with all those that participated in the game, his environment, his society. And I want that his environment will receive through him also the force of participation. It's all in thought. It's virtual lines that work that way. So when you play that game with them again, and you're asking what was easy, what was hard, because you're smarter than him, then you're like taking him again through, I want to bring him to a scrutiny. Of what? Of what did you do? What did you get as a result? What did you gain? What did you understand? And they have like some kind of compass that you direct yourself toward when you talk to them. Yeah, I ask, what did you play? And then I try to analyze the game. Yeah, but what's your purpose? My purpose is that he will learn even more from what he did. Learn what? How through connection we can reach the source of happiness. And even what he didn't experience there, you as a father who understands the process, your goal is to go into that once again in order to help him better understand what he went through. Yes. That connection is the key to happiness. Yes. Many researches show that meaningful social ties in childhood give you pleasure and satisfaction in your adult life, and there's a direct correlation between good ties in your childhood and later success in life. I want to ask, we're in an interconnected world, the kids are on the internet, they're very exposed to many negative things. How can this environment protect them? We need to also talk about it, discuss the negative things too. Not that it's negative or positive, but only in terms of what causes connection or disconnection. This the rails that we shift them to. There's no such thing as allowed, not allowed, this nice, this isn't. Completely new values. Connection and happiness as a result, or disconnection and suffering. That's it. All the rest is unimportant to us. We're acting only in relation to that value. And this is what prepares them for the changing world. It'll give them a different angle, different frequency to look at things, a very special approach to everything that he has in life. He won't look at anything else. Besides, where is there here a better, stronger connection that I can become a part of and fulfill myself like that child? And this promises my child to both be happy, successful, and all the other things that I wish for him. Yes. Because this is what we all live from our adjustment to nature. That's global, integral, and that all is one. Our time's almost up. Just to mention that one way or another humanity is coming closer to it only by way of suffering and scrutinies that aren't so correct, preferable, but still, this is how it goes. We're reaching the end, and if you can sum up, if I want for my child to be happy, what do I need to teach him that he'll feel what? I really want to buy an insurance for my child's happiness, to be dependent on the right environment. As simple as that. Mutual dependence in the right environment. That he'll look for it everywhere, in the right society. Really, that he'll look for it at home, at work, on the street, on vacation. Wherever he is, for him to look for the right environment, and from it that he will always be able to be happy. From its center, from its internality, where everyone becomes as one. To teach humanity to be as one, this is the purpose of integral education. And let's hope that we're starting to see how, in different ways, in life, for all ages, it really works. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Tom Mandelbaum. Thank you for being with us. Together, we're learning how to open the vault and to drink from the well of happiness. All the best.
Attitude to the morning lessons. Question: what does it mean to skip a lesson? Is it not to hear the morning lesson at all or just miss it? Answer: it is preferable to attend the daily Kabbalah lesson. But there are people who live in different time zones, and therefore, I cannot say anything here. Maybe they do not have the opportunity to listen to the morning lesson in real time. When it is 3 o'clock in the morning for us, it is already a working day in Krasnoyarsk, lunchtime in the Far East, evening in America, and so on. There is nothing you can do, you have to take into account the fact that the earth is round. Comment: what if a person misses a lesson from 3 to 6 in the morning, but listens to it in the afternoon? My response: that is not a problem. If he listens systematically during the day, then everything is fine. We have groups that gather in the evening after work and watch the recorded lesson. And there are those who watch the recorded lessons in the morning because when it is morning for them, it is daytime or evening for us. After all, it is not so important to be with us at the same time. If you are together with the group, this is important. In addition, you can get materials from the archive. If you take them seriously, you will get the same spiritual state that we had during the lesson. It does not disappear, it depends on you. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. To Damage One's Destiny, January 21, 2011. Michael Leitman, on Quora: if death is a punishment, how is heaven a reward? There is no death. Through the study of Kabbalah, we can transition from our inborn transient, egoistic and self-serving desire to an eternal and perfect altruistic desire. Without such a study, then our egoistic desire gradually fades away to zero, and that is what people identify as death. Based on a virtual Kabbalah lesson with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on August 5, 2018. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman.